Winning once is hard enough.
The wait is over.
How sweet it is, the fruits of victory.
But this year's battle...
Show the Giants who the real bosses are in the NL West.
...is for back-to-back.
Let's go, Dodgers. Let's do back-to-back. Conquer for Kirsch.
Welcome to Postseason Dodger Talk.
I'm grateful for your show.
And I love listening to you, especially on the game.
Your chance to sound off on the boys in blue. Call the show at 866-987-2570.
Without you guys, there's no Dodger Talk.
LA Dodger Baseball is brought to you by Chef Marito,
seasoning partner of the Dodgers.
Navien Tankless Water Heaters.
For endless hot water, visit tanklessmadesimple.com.
And by Chevrolet.
Find new roads.
Now your host for Postseason Dodger Talk, David Bassett.
There will be a Game 6 as the Dodgers defeat the Atlanta Braves in Game 5 of the NLCS. 11-2. Welcome to Dodger Talk. David Bassett with you until 10:30 tonight, taking your phone calls at 866-987-2570. In a moment, we'll hear from Albert Pujols. Later in the show, we'll hear what Dave Roberts thinks about his ball club and the way they came back and did not just give up on themselves and on the season without Muncy, without Turner, without Kershaw. They kept fighting. And how about even in the first inning, they lost another pitcher, Joe Kelly, who started this game for the Dodgers, this bullpen game for the Dodgers. He had to come out after giving up a two-run home run to Freddie Freeman because of right bicep tightness. And that is never a good sign for a pitcher. But like this Dodger team has done all season long, they have been very resilient with a lot of adversity in their way. You don't get this far without overcoming adversity, and the Dodgers did it again tonight. So just really a great all-around effort. And when the Dodgers win games, that's what they get. They don't just get one guy. They get multiple guys. And after Joe Kelly, it was Evan Phillips, Alex Vesia, Bruce Starr-Gratterall, our pregame guest Blake Treinen, Corey Knable, and then Kenley Jansen. That's the bullpen roll call tonight for this bullpen game that beat Max Fried. And Max Fried was off tonight. He's a better pitcher than what he showed today. He was not scared out there. Don't know what was going on except what I gathered from Rick Monday, that he just did not have his curveball tonight. So a disappointing night for Max Fried, but hey, that's a good night for the Dodgers as they force a Game 6 with an 11-2 victory over the Atlanta Braves. And honestly, a lot of people up here thought if the Dodgers went down early in this game that they would just fold the tents. And after Freeman hit the home run, the Braves are up 2-0, and Joe Kelly has to come out of the game. So now you're thinking, okay, not only are they down 2-0, but they just lost their opener and a key part of their bullpen. Are they going to pack it in? And in the bottom of the second inning, A.J. Pollock let his teammates know, no, we're not going to pack it in. And then Chris Taylor, the first of three home runs tonight, hits a two-run shot after Albert Pujols gets on board with a hard single to left field, and he was fired up tonight. He was firing up that dugout. Even after they got down by two runs, he was in his teammates' ears to keep fighting. Don't let this season go away. And when he got to first base, he was even more fired up. And Chris Taylor, who told us moments after the final out that he was feeling good around the batting cage today and in batting practice, showed it on the field tonight with the first of three home runs. Taylor finishes with three home runs, four hits, six RBIs. We'll get to all the history that he made tonight. We've already hit some of it. But those three runs in the second inning, for me, were the three biggest runs of the game, because right away in the very next inning, the Dodgers were able to not only score a run, but take the lead. And that just showed to everybody that showed up at Dodger Stadium tonight that these Dodgers, these defending world champion Dodgers, without Justin Turner, without Max Muncy, and without Clayton Kershaw, facing elimination against a very good Braves team that has been playing really well, that they're not just going to go away. They got more professional pride than that. And hopefully they can duplicate this offensively, because if you're asking me, can they, what offense is going to show up in game six? I can't tell you. I've told you all regular season long, it's been a boom or bust offense. And hopefully the boom continues in game six against Ian Anderson. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Now through November 1st, lease a 2022 BMW 330i sedan for $449 per month for 36 months with $399 due at signing. Details at SoCalBMW.com. Let's head downstairs right now to hear from Albert Pujols, who got the start at first base tonight and delivered with two hits and two runs.
Albert, you've been a part of so many big playoff series. What was it like to be with these guys tonight that you've grown to love over these last few months? And just what was this feeling like tonight?
It's fun, you know. I mean, having this opportunity, first I give the glory to God for giving me another opportunity to be here wearing this uniform. I wear it with pride every day when I come to the ballpark. And I give him all the glory, and you know, I want to thank the front office, like always, giving me another opportunity to be in the postseason. You know, you see guys play this game for so long, and they never get a chance, you know, to be in the postseason. I've been blessed to be in so many games, winning World Series, and it's fun. You know, this is what every player play for. This is why you train in the offseason, to go to spring training and break camp, and hopefully have an opportunity to be one of those 18 that make to the postseason. And being in this situation is pretty special. I enjoy every ride. I enjoy when I'm playing. I enjoy when I'm on the bench, just helping guys out and as much as I can. That's what I've been doing over the last 4.5 months.
Okay, we'll stay here on the left in the front.
Albert, you're a member of the three home run postseason club. How was it like to experience it in a different way by seeing Chris Taylor do what he did today?
Pretty special, you know. I mean, it just this is something that we needed, you know. In the second inning, right there, after Friedman, you know, went deep in the first. I mean, we know we had a score. We need to score some runs for our bullpen today, which it was unbelievable. I think because the great game that CT had today, I mean, our bullpen kind of falls in the shadow, but they did an unbelievable job. You know, those guys came in and they put some zero out there for us to allow us to score some run for them and end up winning the game. But seeing CT, you know, have a performance like this is pretty special. I mean, an unbelievable guy, great teammate. You know, I had an opportunity to play against him when he was in Seattle. Now, having as my teammate, it's pretty special. And just the preparation that he goes day in and day out every day, stuff that you guys don't get to see, but the players get to see, is that's why he has the success that he has at the plate.
Okay, we're going to stay here on the left.
Yeah, Albert, on that, I mean, the only guys in postseason history that have had three homers, four hits, and six RBIs in a single game are yourself and Chris Taylor. I mean, what is a game like that like when you're in the middle of it?
Well, it just, you know, you locked in. I mean, this guy next to me, Ryan, too, he had a great game. You know, I think, you know, something that he's going to tell his kids, you know, the highlights are going to be there the rest of his life. You know, and that's something that you're going to share forever. I mean, moment like this doesn't happen every day. I mean, it's hard to hit one home run and then imagine three, especially in the postseason. This is not easy. And that's why there are not that many guys that done it, you know. So watching Chris doing that, it was pretty special. I was actually rooting for four, but, you know, he ended up striking out. But he did a heck of a job, you know, out there. And you know, forget about what he did at the play. I think the way that this guy also plays defense is just pretty special for this ball club.
All right, there's Albert Pujols, who was part of a great part of the Dodger order tonight. The 5-8 hitters were a combined 12-18 with 5 home runs, 10 RBIs, and 8 runs scored. And honestly, I would have loved for somebody to have asked Albert what he said in the dugout when they got down early and what he was trying to do all game long to encourage his teammates, because for me, that was equally as important as his two hits tonight, because he certainly was very animated in the dugout, on the field, and definitely doing a lot of talking to his players to motivate them to continue to push forward. So I'll try to find out before game six and relay that to you. 866-987-2570. Let's go out to our man, Eric, in Hollywood. You're on. Well, I got to pull up the screener again, so we will get to Eric and all right, Eric in Hollywood. You're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Eric.
Dodger Nation! Dodger bats sauteed free tonight. It was a good baton passing tonight by the Dodger hitters. Amazing. Theo Albert got tons of hugs tonight. Love to see that. As the unofficial president of the Cody Bellinger fan club, the belly train is still going, and I am a happy passenger. We are riding this train to the World Series, David. David, the negative Nancys were out tonight. Me and Jimbo never stopped believing. David, I'm ready for game six. Mad Max is going to take it to the house. What do we need to do to keep this going?
How about more runs? You know what? That's the biggest thing, Eric. That's what they have to do to keep this going. Last night, 4 hits. Tonight, 17 hits. And the Dodgers were able to take advantage of a flat Max Fried curveball tonight. The Dodgers have not fared well against curveballs this season. There's no secret about it. Ian Anderson is not that type of pitcher. So the way he pitches, his style, definitely favors the Dodgers' offense. And I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility to believe that there will be a Game 7 in Atlanta on Sunday night. What happens from there? You just want to get there and give yourself that opportunity. 866-987-2570. Let's go out to Steven, who is at Dodger Stadium tonight. Hi, Steven. You're on Dodger Talk.
Hey, hey. Oh, I turned that down. Yeah. Sorry about that. We're driving back from the game. That was an amazing game. The bullpen was out of their minds. Obviously, Chris Taylor, A.J. Pollock. I'm wondering if you just have any more info on the injury to Joe Kelly.
I do.
And also,
do you want to hear it or do you want to get to your next point?
Okay. Well, I guess I will eventually hear it. Also, Phillips, when he came in, man, he was lights out. He was amazing. It kind of took the breath out of the stadium a little bit when Joe Kelly left, even though he had given up the 2-run home run. I mean, he's Joe Kelly. He's amazing. And you just figured it'd be a bump in the road. He'd get that final out and let's see, I wasn't sure if he was maybe going to come back in a second, and then he left. And, man, Phillips came in, one pitch, we were done with that inning, and then he just mopped it up in the second inning. It was amazing. I really feel like the momentum, we got a shot. We're gonna take it in game six, and then it's just going to be all hands on deck game seven.
All right, Steven. Sounds like a lot of cliches, and you're very excited. So I appreciate the excitement, Steven, and I appreciate the sincerity of concern that you had for Joe Kelly right there. But for those that are concerned, Joe Kelly left the game in the first inning with right bicep tightness, and Dave Roberts just moments ago speaking to the media said that Joe Kelly done for the rest of October because of that strain to his bicep. So a big blow to the Dodger bullpen, just more adversity for them, and we'll see who they add to that bullpen roster. I would imagine David Price is the next man up. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Let's go out to Irvine. Sophia, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Sophia.
Hi, David. How are you? I called, I think, on Tuesday, and I was the one that said maybe they should take Taylor out. Justin Turner.
You're calling in to rub my face into the fact that A.J. Pollock busted out tonight, aren't you, Sophia?
You probably thought, oh, my gosh, he's changing the whole lineup during the big, big, it's a huge game today. But I think that's what woke up the team, and I felt like they needed new, fresh bodies, fresh players, and I think that's what stirred the pot. So I'm sorry, I don't mean to rub it in your face, but it kind of...
No, it's a good one. It's a good rub-in. It's a good rub-in, Sophia, and I'll wear it. I doubted A.J. Pollock. He was a 180 postseason hitter coming into tonight's game, and I apologize for downing him. He's one of my guys. So He's done pretty good here in the last couple of games. Even before tonight's two home run outburst, he drove in the only two runs for the Dodgers last night, and he was the one that was part of that passing of the baton to set up Cody Bellinger's game-tying home run in game three of this NLCS. Sorry, I have to organize in the Rolodex of games since they're starting to go a little bit deeper. So, yeah, A.J. Pollock without Justin Turner needs to be maybe not as big as he was tonight, but certainly generate some offense and move that offensive line and pass that baton. Without Turner, there's no doubt about it, especially against left-handed pitching. A.J. Pollock destroys left-handed pitching. If he's not going to do it against Max Fried, I don't know when he's going to do it, but he did, and he took the opportunity tonight. Now, look, I did give you hope last night. I was not all negative. The one shining light of hope the Dodgers had was two nights ago at Staples Center, Charles Barkley making one of his infamous guarantees, and I will play it until the Dodgers win this series.
I am not deterred. I am not deterred. The Atlanta Braves, we just wanted to try to make more games for TBS. I'm guaranteeing.
There you go. Can we play it one more time?
I am not deterred. I am not deterred. The Atlanta Braves, we just wanted to try to make more games for TBS. I'm guaranteeing.
Oh, yeah, Charles. The Braves are doing a great job for drama on TBS as the Dodgers blow them out in Game 5 of the NLCS 11-2. And trust me, if the Dodgers win Game 6, there is going to be a whole lot of nervous people in Atlanta because they are going to remember what took place in last year's NLCS. And more importantly, the guys on that Braves dugout bench are going to remember what took place in last year's NLCS when they blew a similar 3-1 lead to the Dodgers last year. And if they blow it this time, it would be even more embarrassing considering how shorthanded the Dodgers are at this point in time of the season. Last year, the Dodgers were at full strength. This year, they're missing a lot of guys, a lot of key guys. And if the Braves can't take advantage of a wounded animal in the Dodgers, then they don't deserve it, and they're going to have to live with it. But trust me, with Max Scherzer on the mound against Ian Anderson, I feel good about the Dodgers' chances in Game 6, and if it gets to a Game 7, I'll put my money on a team that's been there before against a team that is certainly going to feel a lot of pressure of blowing another 3-1 lead. 866-987-2570. Two guys that were part of that Braves team from a year ago that blew that 3-1 lead were Freddie Freeman and Max Fried. They were at the podium moments ago.
Freddie, can you just kind of describe the wave of emotions? It may seem like, you know, you guys are on top and, you know, it changed so quickly, but is that just postseason baseball?
Yeah, it seems like this whole series we've been switching off games here. Winning late, they win late. We score a lot yesterday, they score a lot today. It's just kind of how it's been going. It's two good teams going at it, and kind of this is what we figured.
Max, did you just feel like you were a little bit off tonight, or what, did you feel good, you know, in the bullpen, or when you started the game in the first inning, seemed like you were on, but what happened?
Physically felt great. Just a really good, aggressive lineup. Hit some pitches over the middle. I wasn't executing on the corners like I normally do, and when you leave the balls over the middle, you know, but, you know, normally damage happens.
We got to go over here. On the right, far right.
Max, following that up, obviously a big moment. I know you had a lot of family here and everything. You've pitched here before, but is it tough in that atmosphere when you're in your hometown? How did that, if at all, affect you?
No, at the end of the day, it's playoff baseball. You know, it's a really good team, won a lot of games, and you got to be on top of your game and bring your best to, you know, give your team a chance to win. And unfortunately, tonight I wasn't as sharp as I needed to be.
Are we going to go back to Mark?
Freddie, you guys don't want to hear about last year or 28-3 or any Atlanta sports history, but at the same time, do you just have to kill that narrative like you did the division series narrative last year?
I mean, that's going to be the narrative, it seems, because every day it's brought up the last couple of days, so I don't think we have a choice until we kill that narrative. We're up 3-2, and we're going home. It's a great position to be in.
Hey,
Just to follow that up, we saw how you responded after the Game 3, you know, crushing loss. How do you think you guys will go home and respond to the crowd and everything there?
I think we're going to be just fine. We got Ian on the mound. You know, he's already itching to get going. Got a long day tomorrow. Got to fly home, but we all get to do that. So we're going to be looking forward to getting in front of our home fans. Just really two good teams. It's going to be a good series, just like we thought. So coming down to Game 6 and 7.
You keep telling yourself that, Freddie Freeman. You keep telling yourself you're in a good spot up 3-2. You got to face Max Scherzer. And honestly, the biggest question for all of us is Max Scherzer's arm dead or has it bounced back? Because he was very forthcoming with the fact that in Game 2, he had a dead arm and couldn't loosen it up after 45 pitches. I've seen Max out here throwing. That's all fine and good, and we will talk to Max tomorrow before the Dodgers leave for Atlanta, and we'll see how he's feeling, because he will be very honest with where his body is at, and we'll see whether or not Max Scherzer can bounce back from a poor Game 2 and his body not feeling right after Game 5 and closing out the NLDS. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Let's go out to Mike in La Puente. You're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Mike.
What's up, Dave? Hey, man. Dodgers never say die. It's just another victory, another woolly walk, you know, CP3, Pollock coming through. And what I haven't heard anybody say is, Trey Turner went 3-for-4 today. Anybody realize that? Trey Turner went 3-for-4 today. I think the bats woke up, but like you said, you know, we feast our famine. I hope that we can continue this into Atlanta. We played well in Atlanta. You know, we kept those games close. So I'm pretty confident in our lineup. Of course, Scherzer, you know, he said chomping at the bit. I don't know if you noticed yesterday, he was in Dave Roberts here.
I seen that.
Let's see how the game plays out. I don't know if you read Dave Roberts' lips, but he was like, let's see how the game plays out. So I think Scherzer's ready. I don't think he's tired. 6 days of rest. He's going to be getting it. And, you know, let's beat some blue. You know, we got some pride going on here, man. Let's get it.
All right, Mike, thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. And with that type of enthusiasm, you should come out to Dodger Stadium for Game 6 and 7 as the Dodgers are hosting a watch party out here at Dodger Stadium. You can get your tickets at Dodgers.com. And while you buy your tickets, you get a free Dia de los Dodgers bobblehead. You get $20 of loaded concession value. And you don't have to worry about parking because parking is free. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Chris Taylor tonight, in case you're joining us late, hit 3 home runs and drove in 6 Dodger runs tonight as they run away from the Atlanta Braves 11-2 in Game 5 of the NLCS to force a Game 6 of the NLCS Saturday at Truist Park in Atlanta. And Chris Taylor made some history and joined some pretty good clutch players in baseball postseason history. He joined Pablo Sandoval, Albert Pujols, Adam Kennedy, and Bob Robertson with 3 home runs and 4 hits in a postseason game. So that's just one of many things of significance that Chris Taylor did tonight. And he has been the unsung hero for this Dodger team. And that's part of the reason why his teammates voted him the Roy Campanella Award winner this year. Basically, he's the inspirational player. He's the MVP player. He's done a lot for the Dodgers. And now he's their starting third baseman moving forward with the injury to Justin Turner. So a great night for a great guy who is under the weather. Chris Taylor had that cold that's been going around. I'm sure you or your family members have gotten it, but Chris Taylor got a little cold, and he's still raking. Let's go out to Covina. Ryan, you're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Ryan.
How you doing, Dave?
I think things are good.
I think things are great.
Okay.
All I say is CT3 all the way.
Sweet. Thank you for calling. 866-987-2570. We want to give a shout-out to one of our favorite listeners, Matthew Barnett, the man at the Dream Center. Thank you for listening. And also Mickey and Patty Hatcher, the great stuntman from the 88 Dodgers, was in attendance tonight. And Manny Mona throughout the ceremonial first pitch. As far as the Dodgers went tonight, their 5-8 hitters, it's just incredible the damage that they did. They were a combined 12-18. That's Pollock, Pujols, Taylor, and Bellinger. 12-18 tonight with 5 home runs, 10 RBIs, and 8 runs scored. They had everything to do with the Dodgers scoring 11 runs on 17 hits tonight. And as I mentioned during the clubhouse show, maybe the biggest difference maker in tonight's game was the Dodgers' approach. Because last night, they were 0-14 when they had 2 strikes on them. Tonight, they were 10-17 with 2 strikes on them. If that doesn't scream a different approach, I don't know what does. Let's go out to Laguna Niguel. George, you're on Dodger Talk live from Dodger Stadium. Hi, George.
Hey, David. I just like to say today's a perfect example of what can be when Dave Roberts isn't overthinking the Dodgers' playing style, because I know in any other game he would have immediately taken out Phillips after his first inning, but he kept him in and let him pitch. The same thing with Gratterall and letting him pitch and not taking him out. So what Dave really needs to do is go back to the basics like he did today and not overthink and set that lineup to the most optimized playing style he can get.
Yeah, you know, Phillips was doing well, and, you know, why take a guy out that's doing well? And Evan Phillips, another great find from Andrew Friedman. I mean, this guy how many people know who Evan Phillips is? But the Dodgers have worked their magic with him, and they've come up with a lot of great pitching help for some pitchers that haven't found it with other teams. Evan Phillips, Alex Vesia, Blake Treinen, to name just a few. But what the game plan was, as far as my understanding goes, was if this game was close, he wanted Treinen to pitch the 2 innings that he did and then Kenley Jansen to pitch the last 2 innings. But since the Dodgers blew out the Braves, why push Jansen for 2 innings when you don't really need to? And so that was the game plan by Dave Roberts. 866-987-2570. And speaking of Dave Roberts, I think it's about time people give him some respect, and not as far as what he's been able to accomplish, but the decisions made in the dugout. Good or bad, Dave Roberts is making those decisions. And I think it's disrespectful to him to believe that or to try to make people believe that Andrew Friedman is calling down into the dugout, which is impossible, to tell Dave Roberts what to do, to tell Dave Roberts to bring in Max Scherzer in the 9th inning of the NLDS, to tell Dave Roberts to bring in Julio Urias in the 8th inning of Game 2 of the NLCS. That's Dave Roberts' call. He's the manager. It's not Andrew Friedman. Andrew Friedman and Dave Roberts go over things before the game, but the ultimate decision in the middle of a game, as the twists and turns go, are Dave Roberts. And I think people, you know, on a night like tonight, a good night, apparently, since they won, you know, you give Dave Roberts kudos. But even when it doesn't go well, don't try to undermine him and say that it isn't his decision, because it is his decision. I don't see anybody else in that dugout calling the shots other than Dave Roberts. You got to start to come to terms with that. And he did a great job of managing a bullpen game like he has all season long. 866-987-2570. The Dodgers defeat the Atlanta Braves 11-2 in Game 5 of the NLCS. When we continue on Dodger Talk live from Dodger Stadium, we will check in with Nomar Garciaparra, who has wrapped up in the center field plaza. We saw it, a raucous crowd out there, excited that there will be a Game 6 of the NLCS after the Dodgers put on an offensive show, scoring 11 runs to defeat the Braves 11-2 on AM 570 LA Sports.
AM 570 LA Sports.
Be anywhere, at any time, and you can hear past episodes of Dodger Talk.
All of those things.
Search AM 570 on the iHeartRadio app.
We're streaming online.
We stream every game, too.
Come find me.
Back to Dodger Talk on AM 570 LA Sports.
No balls, 2 strikes, 2 outs. 6'7" Chris Barton set at the chest, now delivers. And there's a fly ball to center field. Racing on back is Duvall, and it is gone! This night is tailor-made. Chris Taylor, a two-run home run. The Dodgers now lead it 6-2, and he has knocked in five. That was the second of three Chris Taylor home runs tonight. It came in the fifth inning as the Dodgers defeat the Atlanta Braves 11-2 in Game 5 of the NLCS. David Vasse live at Dodger Stadium. This is Dodger Talk until 10:30 on AM 570 LA Sports. We will have Game 6 of the NLCS from Truist Park in Atlanta on Saturday. We don't know the time of that game. It's all contingent on whether or not the ALCS goes seven games or not. But one thing we know for sure, the starting pitchers will be Max Scherzer against Ian Anderson. Daniel's Jewelers home run forecast congratulates Joshua Kent, who predicted five Dodger home runs tonight, three from Taylor, two from Pollock, and Joshua receives a $50 Daniel's Jewelers gift card for correctly predicting the number of home runs in the game. For your chance to win a $50 gift card, go to over 100 Daniel's locations. Go to am570lasports.com, keyword home run. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. We'll get back to your calls in just a moment. But we are heading out to Nomar Garciaparra, who is leaving Dodger Stadium. And Nomar, can you describe the scene behind your stage out there at Center Field Plaza?
Well, maybe this helps describe it a little bit. I have to apologize to you if I end up yelling because my ears are still ringing from how loud it was in center field. It was just an unbelievable just experience. It was an unbelievable scene, unbelievable energy. I think there's quite a few people. I have to thank one, Dodgers ownership for creating that set out there in center field. I mean, it's just an unbelievable set. It's an unbelievable atmosphere to be able to have the fans behind us and cheering and feeding off that energy. Then you have to thank the fans for providing it to go out there and just sticking around, and you can just see the excitement. But then finally, people we really have to thank are these players, you know, creating such an emotion that we've seen for so long. I know as a player, you know, you don't take the postseason for granted. We heard these guys say that so often, winning eight straight division titles, going to the postseason, and they finally win the World Series, and they talk about what motivated them this year. It's really easy to have that letdown after a World Series championship. They're like, no, to try to celebrate it. We know last year was such a unique year, given all the circumstances that we all went through together. But wanting to celebrate and feel that emotion with the fans, they created that once again. And to be able to feel that out in center field, it was incredible. So I just have to say that and just thank to everyone involved to be able to create such a great atmosphere.
No doubt, Nomar. That's something that fans have been waiting for a long time here at Dodger Stadium, and Janet Marie Smith did a great job out there. As far as the game goes, you talked about not letting down in that second inning. How big was it for the Dodgers to come back and take the lead after Freddie Freeman gave the Braves an early lead and it looked like the Braves were off to the races?
I thought that second inning was huge. You know, there are people who might say, oh, is momentum a real thing in baseball? Momentum is a real thing in baseball. You feel it. You feel it throughout the course of a game. That's what the postseason is about. This is why everybody hangs on every single pitch. And the Braves have done a really good job coming here in the Dodger Stadium and taking this crowd out of it. They did that yesterday. They jumped on the board early, and it was like waiting for the Dodgers to do something, and it really never happened. Today, they did it once again on that very first inning, going up two runs. You're like, great, are they going to do it again? Uh-oh. So for A.J. Pollock to get things going, then Chris Taylor, and to get the lead that quickly in the second inning was huge. And also what was huge was Evan Phillips, you know, coming in for Joe Kelly, and okay, there's one pitch, gets out of it early, but then comes out and then has an efficient 1-2-3 inning in the second to then get the offense back in the dugout quickly, and for them to do that, and that was big. That's where you can really say, all right, there's the momentum shifted quickly, and then the offense continued going, and the offense obviously is a story, CT3. But I don't want them to overshadow what the bullpen did today. For the door to open every single time, you never know what's going to happen when that door opens. And everybody to come in and get the job done and to be efficient, which really incredible is that the bullpen averaged just under 14 pitches an inning. That is masterful from these guys.
Yeah, they've been there all season long. The Dodgers have had a lot of success with these type of bullpen games. But Nomar, as far as the offense goes, that's been the one unpredictable part of the Dodgers, which offense is going to show up. And talking to Rick Monday after the game, he felt like Max Fried did not have his best curveball. And as we all know, the Dodgers have not been a really great hitting team against good curveballs. What did you see from Fried tonight, and did you feel like that was the biggest factor for the Dodgers to get to him tonight?
Well, I think before the game, you know, I was on the air, and both Oral and I, we were discussing, okay, with the offense, maybe an approach that they would have before the game, especially against a guy like Max Fried. And I mentioned, I said, Max Fried is very similar to Clayton Kershaw, where he likes to pitch on the glove side with that fastball. He's got that slider down and in on righties as well to get them to swing over and miss, and he throws that curveball. His three pitchers are his really go-to pitches, which predominantly the glove side, so be ready. And I said, the other thing you got to do is look for it up, set, you know, middle up. Because of that curveball, occasionally if he gets that give-over curveball, you're ready for it rather than just taking it, thinking it's a ball, and then ends up breaking in for a breaking ball. But that's the most hittable one, and also for his fastball, getting up. So look in and get the ball up. I thought they did that today. The other thing Oral mentioned before the game is the Dodgers have not capitalized on mistakes. They've let the Braves pitchers get away with mistakes, whether they foul them off or they take them or they just haven't been able to really do damage. Well, I thought they did both of those things excellent today. They forced him to get up in the zone, and when he made those mistakes, they capitalized on them. They did some major damage. You're right, the breaking ball wasn't there, but they also hit his other pitches too. They made sure that it wasn't just your breaking ball and you're still going to get me out with that slider fastball as well combination. They make sure they were going to continue to force him to have to make quality pitches, and he wasn't able to do that today.
Albert Pujols had two hits tonight, Nomar, but if you were watching the dugout and you were watching Albert when he got to first base in that second inning, he was pretty vocal tonight, more vocal than I've ever seen him being a Dodger. How much did he keep those guys in the game after Freddie Freeman hit that two-run home run? How significant was Albert in tonight's win?
Well, I think it's the quality at bat. We haven't seen in the postseason quality at bats collectively. We haven't seen the pass the baton theory that we hear from them. But we just haven't seen, you know, maybe we see one or two guys that look good at the plate and then the rest falter, others chase. It's just not there. Well, today we saw a quality at bat. And it's also, you mentioned about just 5-8. And he was down there in the bottom part of the line to also have quality at bats. And that's what he did. I mean, his at bats, when you look over his first three at bats, the singles. Well, what we talked about, the approach of Max Fried, ball coming in, he turns on it, spins on it. And then him battling, and then he goes the other way, just kind of stays alive, figures out a way, just put the barrel on it, gets a base hit the other way. And then he works a walk, which was an actually impressive walk, the way he got deep in the count, took some tough pitches, and worked that walk. It was just quality at bat. And then hopefully, you know, it's one thing that Dodgers have to recognize that you can feed off of. Sometimes in the postseason, I know it's really easy to look at just matchups all the time and do that, but you also just got to look at quality and what guys are bringing to the plate in the postseason. It's just a different animal at times, and he brought just a quality at bat, and I really don't – it didn't matter whether it was a righty or lefty. It was like, listen, I am bringing this. This is what I have to show. This is what I'm going to bring, and he did that today.
Nomar, am I getting a little bit caught up by saying with the injuries to Muncy and to Justin Turner, why not let Albert Pujols ride in there in the starting lineup for the rest of the series at first base?
No, I don't think you are. And that was kind of one of the points I was making with that quality at bat. I don't think it matters whether it's righty or lefty at times. He'll still try to do something that the game is dictating to do. He will try to go the other way. He will try to, there's a man on third base less than 2 outs and infield's back. He's going to try to just put the ball up the middle. He doesn't care. He's not looking to go drive the ball, go deep, unless the game tells him that, hey, here's an opportunity to try to do that. The other thing, too, is when other guys are swinging the bat better, such as Cody Bellinger, who looks so much better at the plate, it allows you to say, okay, the guy, if they're swinging the bat better, let me go with some defense out there. He's obviously in center field what he's capable of doing. AJ, Cody, and Mookie Betts right now is your best outfield. That's it. And then you look at, okay, what do I got to do on the infield, especially with JT down? You have to put Chris Taylor over there, and so you don't have him in the outfield. So there's CT. Then you look over at first base. Now who plays first base? Because Max Muncy obviously is injured. Albert Pujols, the guy with the most experience over there. And so you got to go with that experience that you also understand. So you're not crazy in doing it and saying that because of the way now, if guys can hit the way they hit today, it allows you to look at more at defense as a priority because guys are swinging the bat better at bats than it is trying to say, listen, they're having poor at bats. It's not just one. It's not just two. There's a few guys doing it. So I got to look offense and sacrifice defense. You may not have to do it after a game like today.
All right, Nomar. We'll see how it goes. Albert has killed left-handed pitching, has not fared that great against right-handed pitching velocity, so we'll see which way the Dodgers go in Game 6. Before I let you go, Nomar, Pedro Martinez was in the house with TBS. Was there a reunion? Was there a reunion between Nomar and Pedro tonight?
You know, I didn't get a chance to see him. I've been to go over there and give him a huge hug because, you know, obviously all the stuff that we got to experience together, I love Pedro. So it was unfortunate I didn't get a chance. You know, obviously a lot going on from us doing our pregame show that we don't have at the stadium that we had to do at the studio now. So we did that, and then I had to drive in between to go over there to be at Dodger Stadium for the post game. So there was a lot going on, but I missed him. But nonetheless, doesn't matter because our post game show at center field was off the charts.
Okay, awesome, Nomar. Happy you had a great time out there. It always helps when there's a Dodger win, and there will be another game, and we will see you. I feel confident we will see you back out here next week for Game 1 of the World Series, Nomar.
Oh, you know what? I hope and pray that is true because I believe in it, and I know all the fans believe that that's going to happen. So, go Dodgers.
All right, Nomar. Thanks a lot for checking in. We'll talk to Nomar next week. 866-987-2570. Look, I'm an emotional guy. You get a game like that from Albert Pujols, and you're thinking, man, he should be in there the rest of the series, but when you look at it objectively, coming into the game tonight, Albert was hitting .293 against lefties while only hitting .180 against righties. .293 with 13 home runs against lefties, only hitting .180 with 4 home runs against righties. And maybe the success that he has had with the Dodgers goes to them putting him in the best position to succeed. So I feel like there's a lot to be said about that. Would not be surprised to see a guy like Matt Beattie at first base if the Dodgers still want to stick with Cody Bellinger in center field, or they'll go back to rolling the dice with Gavin Lux defensively in center field. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Let's go out to Courtney in Riverside. You're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Courtney.
Hey, David. Good to talk to you again.
My pleasure.
Yeah. Also, what a fantastic win here tonight, but by the Dodgers. Of course, you know, hopefully we get game six, but and also game seven. But of course, you know, one game at a time, you know. But also, a couple of things I wanted to ask. With the great game that Chris Taylor had today, and also, of course, well, he's been great for us all postseason long, but also would that put some, you know, increase on his price value heading into free agency after this season? Because, you know,
I would say his regular season already raised the price tag on him, and I would say the postseason certainly has only helped his market. So the second half of the season wasn't great for Chris Taylor, and I think teams, I don't know. I feel like where his market is at is similar to where Ben Zobrist's market was at when he signed with the Cubs after becoming a star with Andrew Friedman and the Rays out there. Think about that. Ben Zobrist was the first player of his kind. That was an Andrew Friedman creation. He's created Chris Taylor now, who is this generation's of Ben Zobrist. He's that guy. He's not a switch hitter, but he's that guy. Kike Hernandez was that guy. So, he has a knack for creating these guys, and when they do well, their price tag goes up. 866-987-2570. Dodgers force a game six of the NLCS with an 11-2 victory tonight at Dodger Stadium over the Atlanta Braves. Let's go out to Lou, who is at Dodger Stadium tonight. Hi, Lou. You're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Lou.
Hey, Dave. Thanks to you and Colin for taking the call. Went to the game tonight, and, you know, you already mentioned Mickey Hatcher. I was fortunate to talk to Mick before the game and his lovely wife, and I said, Mick, we need a little bit of your 88 magic, and certainly they delivered. Dave, the environment, like Nomar said, was unbelievable. The mariachis are a hit. I never recall hearing the mariachis play like they did tonight, but it definitely had the team going and the game and the fans, and I will look for you in Atlanta for game six and seven. Thanks, Dave.
Let's do it, Lou. And you know what? The mariachis have been a hit the last three games at Dodger Stadium. And I was just kicking the tires on it. We go to different ballparks and you see what their traditions are. And for instance, in Boston, they have Sweet Caroline at some point in the game. In San Francisco, they play a little Journey. How about at Dodger Stadium in a certain inning, you have the mariachis playing? Maybe they don't have to be here every night, but get a recording of them playing at Dodger Stadium, and maybe during the seventh inning stretch after Take Me Out to the Ball Game, you play a song from the mariachis. That could be a new Dodger Stadium thing. You're welcome. 866-987-2570. Let's go out to Highland Park. Cam, what do you think about that idea, Cam?
Oh, I love it. I love it. Love
just
the mariachis.
Just call me the dream maker.
Gotta have it. Gotta have it. Thank you for taking my call, Dave. Outstanding job by the bullpen tonight. Offense was incredible. Listening to Rick on the broadcast talk about the way they were hitting with two strikes. I mean, to go 0-for-14 in game four and then come back in game five and get multiple hits with two strikes, that's awesome. My question for you is, Trey Turner's had five hits batting second in this series, hitting just after Mookie. Do you foresee him staying there? I think he could really be a big benefit batting leadoff and then having, ideally having Mookie hit after him and then Seager bat third. I mean, they had 10 hits with Trey hitting second in game two, game one. Do you foresee that staying the same and or him potentially moving up to the leadoff spot, especially with them 16 steals this postseason, 16 for 16. But my favorite stat is 7-0 in the last seven postseason elimination games. Love it. Thank you so much, Dave.
All right, Cam. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. Well, number one, the reason why Trey Turner was hitting second behind Mookie Betts tonight, I would believe, had a lot to do with the left-hander being on the mound and Max Fried. You wanted to stack two of your best right-handed hitters in the lineup, 1-2, and get them as many at-bats as possible as the lineup turns over against Max Fried. With that being said, you know, I don't believe it was a coincidence that when Max Muncy got hurt, Trey Turner's production went down a little bit. Because when the Dodgers made that flip from having Trey Turner lead off when Mookie Betts got back and had Trey Turner slide down to the third spot and have Max Muncy hitting behind him, Trey Turner was getting a lot of good pitches to see with Muncy hitting behind him. So maybe the Dodgers found something against a left-handed pitcher and may stick with it against a right-handed pitcher with Seager hitting behind Turner. Maybe Trey Turner gets better pitches hitting in between Mookie and Seager, similar to the way things were going when he was hitting in between Seager and Muncy. But there's no doubt about it. Max Muncy had a great effect on the pitches that Trey Turner was seeing hitting in front of him. And, you know, I just think tonight the primary reason would be because there was a left-hander on the mound. 866-987-2570. Now, after Game 2, we had a chance to talk to Max Scherzer, and that's where he said that he had a dead arm and couldn't get his arm loose after 45 pitches. And I followed up his answer with that by asking him whether or not he believes his body, his arm, will bounce back in Game 6, if there was one. Well, there is a Game 6, and here's what Max had to say last week about that.
When I'm dealing with just, you know, arm's dead, it wasn't like I'm dealing with tendons or ligaments or, you know, nothing, you know, nothing, you know, no, I wasn't dealing with red flag injuries. It was just, you know, my arm's tired. You know, I went out there and pitched as well, as much as I could today. So, yeah, you know, usually in these situations, if your arm's dead, your changeup's a little bit better. So I was trying to get some changeups in there early. And so that, it, for me, it was just trying to locate pitch and navigate a lineup.
Yeah, so you would expect Max Scherzer to feel a lot better than he did in Game 2. He'll be pitching on 5 days rest heading into Game 6. So we'll see how it looks, and he'll be very honest with his answers. And, you know, number one about Max Scherzer, he's a competitor. He's going to give you everything he has out there. And I feel a lot more confident about his performance going into Game 6 with 5 days rest after Dave Roberts chose to use him out of the bullpen in the ninth inning to close out the NLDS. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Let's go out to Greg, who is at Dodger Stadium tonight. Hi, Greg. You're on Dodger Talk.
Hey, how's it going, man? Just want to say I've been to a lot of good games. I was at the Kirk Gibson game when I was 12 years old. I was at the Steve Finley walk-off against the Giants. Today was pretty good, and I really liked the crowd tonight. It was super cool. It was good that the crowd came out and really kind of responded from the last couple of days. But I just wanted to get your take on, you know, everything is about splits and about lefty on righty and all this stuff. I kind of feel like in the playoffs, that might go out the door a little bit. I mean, if you look at today, if you look at a lot of the games that are going to the playoffs, you look at some of these gamers, like even like Kike and Jock and all the other ones, like you kind of, there's the splits during the season is one thing, but when you get to the playoffs, I think you got to go with the guys that got you there. And I just feel like
but
even
the guys
today,
that got you there in certain roles.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
Albert Pujols helped get you here by killing left-handed pitching. You just heard what I had to say. He was hitting 180 this year against righties and 293 against lefties. That's why he was in the starting lineup tonight.
No, 100%. And I'm 100% with that. But also, there is gamers, and I mean, that's gamers is an old-school term, but, I mean, You have to give something with playoff guys that go for it in the playoffs.
I'm with you. There's something to be said about guys that perform in October, whether they're right-handed or left-handed. And I also believe that it's not just an absolute. I think a lot has to do with it and what position you're put in to succeed. And I think the Dodgers have done a good job of that with their position players. I don't think there's anything that you could gripe about as far as their starting lineups go. Of course, you could bring up a fair question about how much defense you're giving up in center field with an inexperienced Gavin Lux, but everybody is all in with his bat. But, you know, you are giving up something in center field. Usually your weakest defender plays left field, not center field.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Dave. No, I'm 100% with you. I actually thought that they were today's approach with Pujols and the rest of them. I just thought it was like, hey, let's get down to business. These guys have been there. Let's go and let's see what they can do. I mean, but
hey, there's going to be a lot of tightening up in that Atlanta dugout, Greg, if there's a game seven. Trust me. And at that point in time, all the pressure will be on the Braves to win a game seven in their home ballpark. And the Dodgers have a dugout full of guys that have not only felt the pressure, but they have performed under the pressure. So the Dodgers needed to win this game to just give themselves a chance in Atlanta with Scherzer lined up for game six and Walker Buehler lined up for game seven. That is all you can ask for at this point in time in the series. We could go through the would-have, the could-haves, the blown opportunities in the first two games of this series because, honestly, very realistically, the Dodgers could have had a 2-0 lead coming back to Dodger Stadium, but there were some missed opportunities in those first two games. They were 1-2-for-18 with runners in scoring position the first two games in Atlanta. But nonetheless, at this point in time, as you come into tonight, you just need to get it back to Atlanta so you have Max Scherzer on the mound in Game 6 against a pitcher in Ian Anderson that the Dodgers match up against pretty favorably because he doesn't really throw too much spin at them. He's going to be coming at them with the fastball a lot, and the Dodgers are a fastball-hitting team. That'll do it for us on Dodger Talk tonight. Thanks to Dwayne McDonald out here at Dodger Stadium. Thanks to Colin Yee back at our Burbank studios. Thanks to Nomar Garciaparra for checking in as well. And thanks to you for listening. In case you missed any of the show, you could podcast it on the iHeartRadio app or at am570lasports.com. Game 6 of the NLCS will be Saturday at Truist Park in Atlanta. Max Scherzer against Ian Anderson. We do not know what time first pitch is. As I mentioned, it's all contingent on whether or not the ALCS goes seven games. If it goes seven games, the Dodgers and Braves will play at 2 o'clock Pacific time. If there is no game seven in the ALCS, the Dodgers and Braves will play game six at 5 o'clock Pacific time. So stay tuned to your local listings for start times. Once again, the final score in Game 5 of the NLCS. Chris Taylor hits three home runs, and the Dodgers blow out the Braves 11-2. Have a great night. See ya.